Sometimes we fight struggles. Sometimes we have issues. Am I right? Like the old country preacher says, can I get an amen?
Amen.
Something you may or may not know is that your pastor is not immune. And your pastor has struggles. And your pastor fights battles. And that's not fun. It's not fun at all. I know I'm not alone. I know some of you are fighting battles right now, struggling. And it's tough. The only hope that I have, though, I love the lesson that I learned from when I preached either last week or the week before, I can't remember, is that God's already won the battle. All I have to do is fight it. I still have to fight, even though God's already won. But at least I know the outcome. And so if I just keep on fighting on, keep on fighting on, keep on fighting on, keep worshiping the Lord, keep worshiping the Lord, putting Him first. If you have your Bibles today, that has nothing to do with the sermon. That was free. If you have your Bibles today, turn to the book of Amos. A-M-O-S, chapter 8. We're going to look at a few verses from the book of Amos today. It's in the Old Testament. And we're going to dive into this and kind of look through this here in just a moment. One of the struggles I'm facing right now immediately is a pretty bad headache, so pardon me while I take some. Amos chapter 8, verses 11 through 14 say this. The days are coming, declares the sovereign Lord, wherein I will send a famine through the land. Not a famine of food or thirst for water, but a famine of hearing the word of the Lord. People will stagger from sea to sea and wander from north to east, searching for the word of the Lord, but they will not find it. In that day, the lovely young women and strong young men will faint because of thirst. Those who swear by the sin of Samaria and who say, as surely as God lives, Dan, or as surely as the God of Beersheba lives, well, they will fall, never to rise again. You might be thinking, well, that's a strange passage. That's a strange verse. Brother Mike, what in the world are you talking about? We've had rain. We're not in a famine. But it says here that it's not talking about a famine of food or thirst for water, but a famine of hearing the words of the Lord. You see, the people that Amos was writing to, they had no appetite for God's word. Matter of fact, God said that He would even take away their opportunity to hear His word because of their rejection. How many times have we heard a word from the Lord about something we should either do or not do? Something He has called us to and we have ignored, we've refused, we've rejected for whatever reason. Maybe it's because it was too hard or too risky or too much commitment or simply not enough in it for me. Now I'm getting real, right? Because sometimes we refuse stuff because we say, well, Lord, hang on a minute. I understand that that would bless somebody else, but that's just taking too much from me. What's in it for me? What do I get out of it? What do I get? If I'm going to do this, what do I get? And so that often leads to refusal or even, which is really rejection. How many of you have ever seen the movie called The American President? With Michael Douglas and, Martin Sheen and Annette Bening. Thank you. Who said that? Thank you, Kevin. There's a quote that came to mind when I was thinking about this, the famine and the, the sand and or the thirst for water. I remember a quote in that movie, President Andrew Shepard. Is that right? Yeah, President Andrew Shepard's in the room with Lewis, who was played by Martin Sheen, and they're playing pool and they're having they're old time friends. They're having this conversation, and Lewis, Martin Sheen, he looks up at the president and he says, "The people want leadership, Mr. President. And in the absence of genuine leadership, they'll listen to anyone who steps up to the microphone. They want leadership. They're so thirsty for it, they'll crawl through the desert toward a mirage, and when they discover there's no water, they'll drink the sand." And President looks at him and says, "Lewis, we've had presidents who were loved by, who were beloved, who couldn't find a coherent sentence with two hands and a flashlight. People don't drink the sand because they're thirsty. They drink the sand because they don't know the difference." A famine of hearing God's words. The truth is that today, too many people don't know the difference. The Word of God has become so misused. It's become so misquoted. It's taken out of context. It's been neglected. It's just been plain flat refused, rejected. In verse 11, the text tells us that it's not from a lack of the word being shared that people are starving from. You get that? Look there at verse 11. A famine through the land. Not a famine of food or a thirst for water, but a famine of hearing the words of the Lord. It's not that the word of the Lord's not there. It's that there's a famine. People are not hearing the word of the Lord. It's a lack of hearing. Hearing the word of the Lord is a choice. But if people make the choice not to hear the word of the Lord too long, they won't recognize it even if they do hear it. And that, my friends, is dangerous ground. It's not that the word wasn't there. It's that the people had refused it so long, now they couldn't hear it even if they wanted to. My friend, let that not be us. What do you mean, Brother Mike? I'm hearing you right now. Yeah, I know you're hearing me. What are you doing with what you're hearing? What are you doing with what you're hearing? I'm going to talk about that in just a second. You might be saying, "I don't reject the Word of God." Well, just what is rejection of God's Word anyway? Well, what does it mean when you reject mom and dad's advice? We hear it and we don't do it, right? And that's rejection. What does it mean when we reject some ideology, some wacko nut job is trying to teach us something, right? And they come up with, well, we hear it, we consider it junk, and then we move on. Not adhering to the principles of that ideology, we reject it. Okay? That's a good rejection, by the way. What does it mean when we hear that God says to be holy as He is holy, but then we live unholy lives? That's rejection, my friends. What is it when Jesus says to consider others as more important than ourselves, but we think that that really doesn't apply to me? That's rejection of God's word. And the list goes on. Love your neighbor as yourself. Put away all bitterness. Deny yourself. Render unto Caesar what is Caesar's and unto God what is God's. Yeah, but that was Old Testament. And Jesus was just quoting Old Testament when he said that. It doesn't really apply to us. That's rejection of God's word, my friends. Honor thy mother and thy father. Do not steal. Do not covet your neighbor's wife. Or what about when Jesus said, follow me? What is it called when we hear these words and don't do them? You know what it's called? It's called rejection. And if you reject God's word long enough, you won't hear it when you want to hear it. In James, there's a verse in chapter 1, verse 22. It says, do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. How many of you have heard God's word before? How many of you have always, every time, always obeyed that word? Anybody? No. It's rejection. We have to quit calling our lack of concern for God's word anything other than what it is. And what it is called is nothing else than rejection. Now, this is not the most uplifting sermon I've ever preached in my life. I'm calling us out. I'm calling us, those who hear the word of God and don't follow it, don't do it, don't obey it, I'm calling us sinners. I'm calling us people who are rejecting, refusing God's word in our lives. And that's not a pretty picture, because what we've just read was, if we reject God's word long enough, we're going to become so, what's the word, apathetic? We're going to become so numb. Deaf is a good word, thank you. We're going to become so that we can't really even hear it, even if we wanted to hear it. In verse 13, in that day, the lovely young women and strong young men will faint because of thirst. It says that women, or men and women, will faint because of thirst. Again, it's not because of a lack of God's word. God's word doesn't go away. God's word never fails. Matter of fact, in Isaiah 40, verse 8, we read that the grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of our God endures forever. So it wasn't a lack of God's word, it was a lack of hearing God's word. They don't drink the sand because they're thirsty. They drink the sand because they don't know the difference. They've become indifferent. Oh, let that not be said of us. May we not become indifferent. May we not become neglectful. May we not become confused. May we not become misled. May we not be guilty of rejecting the word of God. Maybe you've never made the connection that disobedience was actually rejection. Maybe you don't want to reject Jesus, you just don't want to obey him either. Well, you can't have your cake and eat it too. It's one way or the other. And which is it for you? That's a very personal question. Which is it for you? Remember, if you reject too long, you may not have an opportunity to hear it later. Many people say that they will come to Jesus after they've had a chance to live life and do the things that they want to do first. Those people are already misled, thinking they're in control. They're confused. And guess what? They're rejecting the Lord's word. If that's you, hear while you can. Hear these words and respond. Choose while you have the opportunity. There's a famine coming. Some are already experiencing this famine. Connect to the one who is the river of life, the river of living waters, and like Jesus told the woman at the well, and never thirst again. When I think of the famine and that picture I get from that movie I told you about, people crawling across to a mirage, something that's not there, and when they get there and find it's not water, they drink the sand. The president says it's not because they're thirsty, it's because they don't know the difference. When I think of that, drinking sand, already mouth already parched, thirsty, and then I think of Jesus says, I am the living water. I'll give you living water. You drink of this and you'll never thirst again. That's me. I want the living water. I don't want to be thirsty. I don't like having that when I swallow, my throat sticks together in the back and I have to struggle to get it to pry back open, right? Anybody ever been there? Yeah, you know what I'm talking about. That's thirst. That's thirst. That's parched. Folks, sometimes we're spiritually parched, and it's not because the Spirit's not there. It's because we're not receiving it. It's not because God's word is not there. It's because we're not hearing it. There's an old, in the Hebrew culture, And when you go back and read specifically in Old Testament, the idea of hearing something was not what we equate hearing today. Okay? When you heard something, it was made manifest in your actions. And that's, they were tied together. They were inseparable. Hearing and doing were combined. Today we don't have that. We can hear something and choose not to do it. Okay? Well, in Hebrew culture, and when this was written, that they were tied together. Folks, we've separated something that, it's almost like marriage. Let not man tear asunder what God has joined. God has joined hearing and doing together. And we've taken it and separated it and said, well, this is the same thing. I can still hear it. I just don't have to do it. Part of that misleading. That's part of the mirage that we're drinking because we don't know the difference. In verse 14, those who swear by the sin of Samaria, who say, as surely as God lives, Dan, or as surely as the God of Beersheba lives, they will fall, never to rise again. What does that mean? I mean, that's kind of, that was kind of confusing to me. I thought, what does that mean? What is Samaria, the sin of Samaria, the Dan, the Beersheba, all that, what's that mean? It's simply this. Those who place their trust and hope in anything other than God Almighty will fail. Your bank account won't save you. Your health won't save you. Your grandchildren, God love them, but they won't save you. Your house, your car, your high-tech electronics, they won't save you. Your education won't save you. Only God's word can save you. But you have to hear it. And again, following the old Hebrew ideology of hearing a command and instruction or anything was equaled with doing. If you've heard it and don't do it, you didn't hear it. Too many have separated hearing and doing, and let that not be true of you and I. This conference that we just got back from. Lots of doing. Lots of doing. I pointed out to the eight other people that were with me, from the very first time I went to this conference, I was impacted heavily because everywhere I turned, there was a volunteer. I mean, they wanted to escort me to the bathroom and wherever. I mean, anything I wanted, they were trying to help me get it. I mean, there were volunteers everywhere. And I remember asking one guy. He was kind of like their coordinator, volunteer coordinator. Can't remember his name, but saw him for several years in a row. Did not see him this year. But I asked him, I said, let me ask you a question. You got volunteers everywhere. He said, yeah. I said, what do you do? He said, well, he had a job. I can't remember what he did. But he had taken the days off because he wanted to be there at the church doing that. And I said, why do you do this? Why do you? He said, do what? I said, why do you volunteer? I said, I'm interested in learning what motivates you to volunteer. Why do you do this? And he looked at me with a puzzled look on his face and was like, why would I not? What do you mean? I don't understand your question. That doesn't factor into my mind. Why would I not? He said, I love this. He said, sometimes I'm the parking greeter. He said, listen to this. I get the first shot. They see me before they see Ed, the preacher. I get first shot at them. I get to welcome them. I'm part of the welcoming party. I get to be the one to usher them in, and I'm the first one to get to smile at them when they get to the church. He said, why would I not want to do that? What do you mean? See, for him, hearing and doing were tied together. Some of you have heard the word of the Lord. Some of you have heard that Jesus saves. And it's nice words when you hear them. And some of you may have said, you know, that's cool. And one of these days, I'm going to do that. You see, you've heard it, and when you say, one of these days, I'm going to do that. Some of you may have heard a word from the Lord may have heard that the Lord wants you to be involved in something somewhere, to step out, to lead, or to step out and follow. But you thought, well, you know, that really doesn't fit my personality. God, you don't know me very well. We don't say that, but we kind of mean that, right? Lord, you got me confused with somebody else. Think again. I'm not interested in that. Or, like I said a while ago, yeah, well, that's all good and fun and good, but, you know, what's in it for me? What do I get out of this deal, God? Unless it's beneficial for me, I'm not interested. And again, we may not just blatantly come out and say that, oh, but that factors into our thinking. Unless I get something good out of it, I'm really not that interested. Maybe the Lord has called you. Maybe the Lord has called you into more service. Maybe he's called you into doing something like what I do. Maybe he's called you into the ministry. And you've sat there and you've said, I just don't see how that fits in with the plans that I've made for my life. God, you need to go back and do a little research on the plans that I've made. When God says, no, I know the plans I've made for your life. They're good. Not to harm you, but to prosper you, to give you a hope and a future. See, they're my plans. You need to be on board with my game. Don't ask me to be on board with your game unless it's the same as mine. Then we're together and we're on board together. He said, but my ship is going the good way. Some of you have heard that. Some of you have put that off, baby. Some of you have said, no, not yet. One of these days I'll pick that up. One of these days I'll do that. One of these days I'll teach the class. One of these days I will volunteer more time when I have it, like when I'm retired. I'll have more time and I can do some volunteer work. And I'll do that. Maybe one of these days, but not right now. Guess what? You know what all of that is called? Rejection. Rejection. We're saying, God, not your will be done, but mine. You see, that's not what Jesus prayed, though. He said, not my will be done, but yours. And that's where God wants us to be. My friend, the danger is that if you ignore that, you put that off, whatever the Lord is telling you, and I love what Sherry said earlier. All of us are under different circumstances, different situations right now. So what the Lord has told me through this message may be very different from what he's telling you, may be very different from what he's telling to the person next to you or across the room or even in the back. But I don't believe there's a person in this room that the Lord has not said something to, unless you're just not hearing it. Are you in a famine? Are you thirsting? Come to the river of living waters. Come to Christ. Come to Jesus. Like Zachary said, let's have a come to Jesus meeting. God loves you. He didn't want you to be parched. He didn't want you to be dying from malnutrition. He didn't want you to be starving and having your throat closed up. He says, I've got it right here. It's always there. God's word endures forever. It's just that there's a famine from hearing God's word. Let us not be guilty of not hearing God's word. And remember, hearing is not just hearing. Hearing is hearing, taking it, and doing. Amen. Amen. Here in just a moment, we're going to have music is going to play. We're going to be singing a song, and it's called our response time. What's a response time? It used to be called a hymn of invitation or an altar call. It's known by many things. Doesn't matter what you call it. This is the time when you stand up and say, you know what? I heard the word of the Lord, and now I'm willing to do something about what I heard. I respond. I do something about what I got. And for you, maybe that's coming to the altar and kneeling in prayer and just confessing to God and say, Lord, I've been neglecting you. I've been, as Brother Mike put it, rejecting you. And I don't want to be guilty of rejecting you. And I want to put that away. I want to get that behind me. I don't want to reject you any longer. Maybe you need to come and just pray. Maybe you need to come and have me or Rebecca pray with you. There are other people in this room that would love to pray with you. The Jonathan and Leanne have got the youth looking for prayer partners. If you're a youth and you found your prayer partner and you want to go pray with your prayer partner, this time is you go do that. If you're an adult and you don't have a prayer partner, you can find one. I'm always one. It may be that the word of the Lord to you has been, come, come to salvation. I died for you. I love you. You have sinned, and the punishment for that is death, and God has made the rule that if you sin, you got to die. There has to be a death, an eternal punishment. But Jesus says, but you don't have to do that because I've already paid that price for you. But you have to receive it. You can't just hear it. You have to receive it. You have to do something with what you've got. And maybe that's you today. You want to come to Christ and receive the salvation that only Jesus can offer. He said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. And no man or woman comes to the Father but through me. Jesus says, you know, it's a pretty exclusive club. Jesus says, I am the only way. Jesus, God's own Son, said, I am the way. Which made it very simple for us. We don't have to figure it out which way it is. God said, I am the way. My Son, Jesus Christ, that is the way. Come to me through Christ. What does that mean, Brother Mike? That means you come and you receive the gift. You receive the fact that you are a sinner, that you have violated God's word, you've rejected God's word, but you've come to a place in your life where you say, I know that, and I know I've done wrong. And I know that the only way to make that right is to let Jesus Christ be the Lord and Savior of my life, to be my boss and to be my rescuer. And I want that to happen today. And all you do is you just simply say, God, I want that. I need that. I will quit being the boss of my life. I will quit saying, not thy will, but mine be done. And I will now say, not my will, but thine be done. I will let you be in charge. I will seek you for guidance. I will follow your ways. And Jesus, in return, says, then you're forgiven. You are forgiven. Welcome, welcome to the family of God. And upon the day you draw your last breath on this earth, your next breath will be drawn in heaven, and you'll be there forevermore. That's the promise. That's the promise. Maybe that's you today. Oh, friend, I would love to share that with you. And if that's you, I'll be standing right here. You can come on up. Whatever your need is, whatever your issue is today, now is the time to deal with that. Don't walk out of this room with issues that are not dealt with. Don't walk out of this room with unresolved conflicts. Don't walk out of this room with business still left on the table. You know why? Because if you reject that word long enough, you may get to the point where you can't even hear God's word anymore. Let that not be us. Would you stand, please? And as we stand, I'm just going to ask you real quick, just to bow your head. I don't want anybody looking around. This is not it's not anything else other than I just want you to look down at the floor, close your eyes, bow your head. And I just want to ask you, how many of you are struggling? How many of you have conflicts? If you're in a conflict right now, just raise your hand. I want to pray for you. Father in heaven, there are folks in this room, me included, who are struggling right now. And Lord, we have heard your word. Lord, help us to not be hearers only, but doers of the word. Help us to take your word and apply it to our lives. Help us to dive deeper into your word. Lord, speak to us. May we respond to you.